Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
To the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We made it to Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two underway, 6 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program this morning from Alabama Today, April Marie Fogel for her weekly visit. And as we do every Friday, we'll wrap it up with State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. I got to know him really well when I was talk show hosting, I guess that's what you would call it, up in Huntsville at WVNN. State Representative Rex Reynolds from Huntsville joins us on the line. Representative, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing fine.
Well, I want to get you on here. You have a unique expert. Well, it's probably not unique to the Alabama legislature. There's a lot of law enforcement there, but particularly as in a role as a police chief, having served as that. And then here we are. In the wake of the Derek Chauvin trial and the guilty verdict, and you know, you look at what all the such a nationalized national case with all that attention, what impact does it have here at home? And it got me, you know, I was watching you on Alabama Public Television the other night and discussing that. But policing in Alabama, maybe this has an impact on it. Maybe it makes us want to reconsider how we do law enforcement in the state. Well, what do you think? Here we are sitting here today. That what discussions do we need to have?
Well, Jeff, I often comment that, you know, police reform is an ongoing topic. And I'll tell you that specifically in Alabama, police reform has truly been going on since the late 80s, early 90s. For example, in Huntsville, you know, we used to call it the ivory tower where the police chief and all the command staff sat. And we saw a need to break that structure down, put commanders out within the field. Community policing began because, you know, you know, for lack of better words, you can't wait till the wheels fall off. You've got to maintain a relationship with the community. You've got to have key points of contact within the community. If something volatile does happen, two phases. A, to get accurate information out to the community, and then also, you know, for the community to be able to vet, to come to your police force and have an open, honest conversation about the climate of the community.
Well, and, you know, sometimes you look at it on this other side there, and you see what's happening, and you hear all the rhetoric on cable news or wherever. This seems very anti-police, and you wonder, like, who's going to want to do this for a living? Would I want my son going into law enforcement? Probably not. Just based on, you know, it's not only the quality of life, but, you know, it's not something you put yourself in harm's way. And you get treated so poorly that maybe that this could wind up having an impact on things maybe more long term than we realize.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's at a point that we've got to get it right in law enforcement, and that is the recruitment and the hiring and the training of our officers, and it absolutely is having an impact across our nation. We're seeing hundreds to thousands of retirements of good police officers that are hanging the badge up and going home. You know, there's even agencies now that are contracting outside sources, you know, with an app device just to monitor their mental and their physical being as they do this tough job. And I think we've just got to continue to capture what we're doing right in law enforcement. We've got to make sure that we do that across the board to all agencies, somewhat of a standard in training and policies and procedures. I commented the other night, we've got a lot of accredited agencies throughout Alabama. We need more. It creates a standard of hiring and training and, quite frankly, retention. And I say that, you know, because we certainly know Chauvin's background, where I think there was 17 or 18 different incidents, and I think the only thing that we got publicly was that those were closed complaints with discipline. But yet, you know, he still ends up there in an altercation with George Floyd. And as a matter of fact, as a training officer. And as a former police chief, I kind of have to second guess that.
What do you think this, though, that maybe you have these bad apples within the system, but just maybe because there aren't a lot of other options out there willing to do this job. So for that reason, you have these situations where you just have to make the most of it and deal with these types of individuals. No one could have foreseen what happened to George Floyd and the way that was handled, but, you know, you're looking to solve the problem on a day-to-day basis. Well, we don't really have an officer for this beat. Derek Chauvin is going to have to be the guy that's going to fill this hole that we really need. We just don't have the personnel.
Yeah, but Jeff, policing in America, we've got to do better than that. We've got to continue to focus on salary, on benefits, and recruiting the right police officer to put that badge on. Because we see nationally what one bad cop can do. And I will tell you that police officers across our nation and in Alabama will be the first to call out someone that does something, quite frankly, against the law.
I mean, that's the discussion we need to have, that, look, you're either going to pay for training and you're going to pay for recruitment to get better quality of individuals in your system, or you're going to be really paid for it later with, you know, any kind of civil unrest, damage to public and private property, and then all of the, you know, the legal action that takes place later.
Yeah, civil lawsuits can be devastating to a city. I mean, it can bankrupt a small city. So absolutely got to do that on the front end. But again, you know, we're going through police reform. It's okay to have the conversation. You know, I served on a panel earlier this year at the University of Tuscaloosa, talking about, you know, police reform, social justice. And I'll tell you, from both sides, our conversation is not that far apart. I mean, I've read the presidential report on police reform, both from the Obama administration and from the Trump administration. And it's amazing, with two totally different panels, different participants, how close the language is as to where we need to be. And both reports start out with focusing on hiring the right people, recruiting, training, and retention. You know, you've got to have a red flag policy to where if an officer's getting too many complaints, you know, those complaints have to be reviewed. I'm not saying that, you know, just because the number of complaints they have, because if a guy works narcotics versus internal affairs, he's going to have more complaints. It's an aggressive physical field. But you've got to have a process in place within your department to review those complaints to make sure that we don't have an officer that does not best serve the community.
Joined by State Representative Rex Reynolds here on the program. My perception is that we have a lot of these incidents now. Is this just happening more and more in a culture? Or do we maybe these types of incidents are being highlighted more in the age of a cell phone, camera phones, and able to videotape incidents that maybe now that we're really getting, you know, you're getting that visual and that's sparking the public concern more than it used to? Or maybe are we really having more of these kind of unfortunate interactions with citizens and police now? Do you have a sense of really what's going on here?
Well, Jeff, I think all-inclusive, everything that you just highlighted contributes to that. But I'll tell you that again, we previously talked about the strain on law enforcement. And you know, where in some areas our youth and beyond have and this is Rex's opinion, has lost respect for law enforcement. And that respect, you know, begins at home. It begins in our educational process. You know, they you know, when did it become okay to just turn and flee and or fight? You know, our most visible stance of law enforcement, and that's our boots on the ground, uniformed officer on the street. But that goes both ways. I mean, our police on the street have to show respect for our community, but you know, we have just seen both in the state of Alabama and nationally just some violent response to our law enforcement. And I think that goes back to my earlier comments today about, you know, we've got to know our community to which we work. And I think a lot of these departments that assign our police officers to a specific district, you know, five out of 7 days, and that's for a reason. It's so that they learn the people, the community knows that officer, they show some respect for that officer, and in return, that officer shows the community some respect. So, you know, and I worry about our police officers going forward. I think it was a Dothan case in Alabama that just occurred where an offender got out of the car with a firearm, and the officer, you know, chose to pull his taser rather than his firearm. And I suggest what's going on nationally probably affected that officer's response to someone that had a deadly weapon that could have killed that officer. And only after that guy discharged and shot the officer in the leg was the appropriate force used. So it's a negative impact on both sides of the conversation, and we have to work on it every day. We can't give up. We can't say we got to police on what we got. We got to continue to raise our standards, and that's what makes agencies a professional agency, and also, again, to have that consistent policy from one agency to another.
Representative, another thing that you can't go without noticing, I also feel like while all of these incidents are very unfortunate and they occur, you do have a political class that's willing to use them for their advantage. And that, to me, is at least part of the problem in inflaming the situation, that you take something and you're all now, you know, the left in this country seen that they had some success advancing some of their causes with the George Floyd incident, but now it seems like they're just looking for that next George Floyd incident to really inflame the public. But that comes at such a social cost with law enforcement that the politics is now there's a perverse incentive here maybe to do maybe highlight or exaggerate some situations.
Well, you're absolutely right. There's some very unfortunate things that's being said out there on the national level, and we, you know, those of us that are lawmakers, policymakers, public leaders within our communities and our states, you know, you've got to be accountable for your actions, because, you know, the people use, you know, insightful words to carry out actions, and we simply cannot do that. You know, have a conversation. On the way home from Montgomery last night, I got to listen in on the briefing from the Police Citizens Review Board in reference to the protest and riot in downtown Huntsville. And, you know, while I may not agree with some of the stuff I heard presented, simply because, you know, you have a very volatile situation, you know, you've got, I think there was a comment about, you know, a lack of command and control. Well, that command and control has to adjust, you know, to what, you know, the crowd is doing. But, you know, hey, don't get mad about it. Be willing to sit down, whether it's real or not, you know, everything they said in that report, if there's a perception that there's a problem, we've got to sit down and we've got to air it out and we've got to talk about it. It's okay to have that conversation, and that's coming from a former cop.
And finally, we get you out of here on this. Do you get the sense, though, you know, handling things at the state level, does the state need to be, the state government need to be more proactive in at least some kind of guidelines or laws or something with regards to these municipalities and whatever policing policy they have in place?
Well, I think we do that now, Jeff. You know, we have APO standards in Alabama. The chiefs and the sheriffs and the DAs, that they continue to have input on policy. This year, I can't count the number, but I would say there's over 10 bills either making their way through the Alabama legislature or already passed, dealing with our law enforcement community. And, we, you know, those are tough conversations to have. You know, some of the bills, in my opinion, started out, you know, very, very broad. We had to work within committee to get them very narrow, because as you do stuff like that, particularly impacting an individual officer, let's say related to the database, tracking those that have instances of use of force. You know, we wanted to make sure we narrowed that down, protected the police officer's rights also, but also ensured that an officer leaves one agency going to another, that they don't hire someone that doesn't best fit the community and respect law enforcement as well. And like I say, I think we've got some good bills coming through. Even the crisis intervention training that we passed the House last year, this year we passed it through committee. I'm holding that bill because our APOS, that's in charge of our standards of policing in Alabama, saw the bill last year. We all sat down and had a conversation. We had police chiefs at the table, and APOS moved forward and implemented a 16-hour, double the number of hours on law enforcement's interaction with those suffering from mental health.
Representative, we're out of time. We got to leave it there, but I really do appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Jeff, I appreciate it. Thanks for your work.
All right, thank you. That was State Representative Rex Reynolds. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.